Hello, welcome to DriveCast. This is Ed Travers, teaching pastor at LifePoint in Westerville. This past Sunday, we continued in our series that we're calling Kingdom Citizen, where we're talking about how only one kingdom is eternal. When you and I think of kingdom, we typically think of a man who has a crown on his head. He has a castle and he has an army, and they have a geographical location where he is king of that area. The kingdom of God is not like that. The kingdom of God is that Jesus himself is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the message of the gospel goes out to people. Those who receive that message have committed their heart to Christ, or they've had allegiance to the King of Kings. They become a citizen of the kingdom of God. That is how the kingdom of God advances today, not geographically, but heart by heart, one at a time. In the Sermon on the Mount, he's communicating the values of the kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom of God, and how we are citizens. This is how it should affect our life. In this passage that I want to share with you today, it's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. It says this: "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them to be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, let's think about that culture for a minute. Israel was part of the Roman Empire, so Rome was in charge. But Israel had leaders of their country, and they were the religious elite. They were the Pharisees and scribes and different ruling parties. They lived out religious behavior. And the ones who could keep religious behavior enough, strong enough, they were the ones who were considered elite and rulers. And there were classes, so people who couldn't keep up with those were considered sinners. So there was this class. And so when Jesus came on the scene, you know, the people of Israel were expecting a Messiah who was going to fight back against Rome and would reestablish Israel as this power, in their area. And of course, the Pharisees and scribes believed that he would be one of them and, would keep up their values. So here's Jesus coming on the scene, and he's saying, look, you know, I've not come to abolish the law and the prophets. They are going to be fulfilled. The law and the prophets, that's a term that Israel would have understood, that we're talking about Moses, who the law was given through Moses, the Ten Commandments and the laws. And then the prophets, these were God used the prophets to guide the people of Israel. And Jesus isn't coming to get rid of them. They were the forerunners pointing the way to this Messiah, but Jesus is coming to fulfill all of them in a new type of kingdom. And here's what he says to the people that would have been extremely alarming to the people. He says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Man, now I want you to think about that. Let's say that you're a person who's made a mistake. You know, you can't keep up the law like the Pharisees do. So you look up to the Pharisees as, man, they are the ones who really God must love because they behave way better than I do. And then Jesus comes on the scene and tells you, yeah, you have to become more righteous than them. I mean, that would have been devastating, right? As if, why not just tell us, hey, you guys have no chance. There's no ability for you to become more righteous than they are. Therefore, no one has a shot. That's the essence of what Jesus is saying. Then he goes on in the passage, and he's over the next, several passages, he talks about how that looks and different ways that the Pharisees kind of used the law to kind of manipulate their position. And Jesus is just pointing that out and saying, you have to be more righteous than that. But isn't that the message of the gospel? That you and I cannot be righteous in and of ourselves. In Romans, it says there is no one righteous, no, not one. That, you know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That in spite of the fact that you and I are not righteous, God sent his son, the King Jesus, to die on the cross to pay the penalty for sin. And as he rose from the dead, you and I get to become righteous. His blood washes away our sins so that we are made right with God. That's the message of the gospel. I would just say it's so easy to believe that that's kind of like the starting pistol to get into the race with God. But it's not. It's the fuel that takes you through the entire race. The way I deal with people who I struggle with. people who disagree with me. I realize that their life is valuable. Their opinions are valuable, even though they don't agree with mine. When I have people who've offended me, who've done things wrong to me, I should forgive them. Why? Because I have been given forgiveness. When I think about people who I think do things outside of the scope of what I believe is normal or right, I realize that Jesus came and he died for everybody who completely did things outside of what was normal or right. Therefore, I should love them in the same way that Jesus does. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. And then after I get done praying, I just want you to take a minute and just have some time with God and just pray. And then when you're done, just, you know, just say amen. And, you know, but I want to thank you for tuning in. I hope that you'll come back tomorrow and continue to listen. But let me pray for us. Father, I believe that the gospel is the most powerful message in the universe. I pray that you would let that sink in deep into our hearts. Let it become the fuel for how we deal with everyday life, that our identities would be wrapped up in the message of the gospel, that you made us righteous because of your son, that there was nothing we could do to earn it. It had to come from you. And we want to thank you for that. God, I pray that our lives would resemble that, that we would love others because of how you loved us. We ask in your son's holy name. Amen. Just take your time to pray. And until next time, God bless.